In this Friday edition, we hear from Greg Saros, chairman of the Federated Indians of Granton Rancheria, as he talks about the recent offer of the University of California for free tuition to federally recognized tribes of California. Unfederally recognized tribes of California could not be covered by the UC system. This is where the Federated Indians of the Granton Rancheria stepped in. Greg Saros has more of the story. We also take a glimpse in the history of the Granton Rancheria as they recovered federal recognition status in the year 2000. Greg Saros.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you very much. I am calling you in regards to the free tuition being offered by the University of California systems to Native American students who are federally recognized in California.
As well as the non-federally recognized.
Is California doing that as well?
Well, this is what happened. President Drake of the president of the University of California wanted to create a situation where all California Indians could go to UC tuition-free, graduate and undergraduate. National schools have some of their professional fees paid for, such as medical students. The fees can be quite high. So he wanted that all California Indians, again, could go tuition-free to a UC. But because of Proposition 209, he was unable to do that for the non-federally recognized California Indians. Because the federally recognized tribes are sovereign nations, he could offer, you know, because they're nations like with the status of France or Canada, China, whatever, he can offer tuition-free in that case. But the state of California, the citizens of California, you cannot give any special treatment based on race, religion, ethnicity, culture, gender, whatever. And so he was stuck when it came to the non-federally recognized tribes. And we got together and talked and came up with the idea that, you can have an outside foundation, a foundation or an organization of some sort that would offer scholarships to particular students, i.e. you could have an African-American organization or board that might want to offer black students who were going to medical school a special scholarship. You could do that. So then it became, let's see if we could create some kind of situation. So we asked some other tribes if we could, Grayton decided, I asked the president how much money he needed to do this, and he said, well, every year I'd need approximately $2.5 million, and that would also help us cover also some of the federally recognized tribes' tuition as well as the professional fees. But it would certainly cover the tuition for the non-federally recognized California Indians. So my tribe immediately said, okay, well, we'll put up $1.5 million and try to see if we can get the other tribes to throw in the other million that was needed. We called the tribes together, but, they were all interested, and everybody thought it was a good idea. But, you know, they had to check with their councils, and time was rolling on, and President Drake wanted to have this available now for fall 2022. So in that case, we had to move quickly, and so my tribe came back and said, well, this year we'll do the whole thing. So we'll just do the whole thing, and we'll call it the Grayton Scholarship Fund, or Grayton Scholarships, Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria Scholarships. So we stepped forward so that all the $2.5 million annually so that all California Indians, federally recognized and non-federally recognized, will be able to attend the University of California tuition-free. I've heard since another tribe will want to jump in. And so we will, hopefully have meetings this summer and so forth regarding more input from other tribes, financial input from other tribes that maybe can start in 2023. But as it stands now, Grayton is the sole supporter of the scholarship fund, allowing all California Indians to go to UC tuition free.
Well, congratulations and thank you very much. That's nice. I like that. You're going to be meeting this summer with the rest of the tribes and run this again.
I don't know. I mean, we haven't set a date. I mean, that's the idea because, hopefully other tribes will be interested, and And the other tribes that might want to contribute, obviously, then it will no longer be just the Grayton Scholarship Fund. It may be something else. But we haven't set a date yet about other tribes doing that. We will convene that. Hopefully, I'll convene that sometime later this summer so that we can have a jump start on the 2023 academic year.
Yeah, you have to get way ahead of on the school years to get anything solidified for that upcoming calendar year. So I understand that. The Grayton Rancheria was federally recognized in 2000, correct?
Yes, we're recently federally recognized tribe. December 27th, the very end of the year, December 27th, 2000, President Clinton signed our restoration bill. We're relatively new tribe. Of course, we were illegally terminated in 1958. And then we reorganized in 92 and finally got a bill through Congress almost 8 years later. We didn't want to go necessarily the casino route. We just wanted housing and so forth and a rancheria, get land for our people. But the restoration bill didn't give us any land back, and we had to buy it ourselves. And we tried different things for a couple of years and then finally began, to look into the casino business and as our only alternative or best alternative to take care of our people. But we simultaneously, the council, some of which are still, the vice chair, Ross, is still with us, who was there originally, we decided early on that we wanted to, if we were going to have this casino resort, which, and again, we're in an area where we have, proximity to the Bay Area and so forth, knowing we'd have pretty good business, we committed ourselves to making sure that it, first and foremost, we took care of our people so that everybody would have housing, education opportunities, health, and so forth. But we also said that we wanted this endeavor to our business to be a platform to support social justice and environmental stewardship in the spirit of our ancestors, something that would benefit Indian and non-Indian alike. And so, our casino has only been open about 8.5 years, but we've been probably one of the most generous tribes, if not the most generous tribe currently in the state. I mean, we've given upwards of $55, $56 million in charity and $180 million that comes out of our, was part of our compact with the state that comes back to the city of Runner Park and the county of Sonoma. So, and education we feel is important, and we care and want about all California Indians and want to make sure people are taken care of. I think if all tribes worked hard together to take care of one another, we wouldn't have a lot of the infighting regarding land and casinos and all that stuff that goes on. We have the resources now, or becoming powerful with the resources we have, that we need to take care of one another and support one another and our endeavors to educate our people and protect our land. It's so important, but we have to work together.
When I first noticed this, got this press release from the UC promotions desk, and they were, I saw this posted on several different Facebooks, and one of the questions that came out of that was, how about the other Native Americans? There was a cultural coalition of urban Indians in Southern California counties. So I am assuming that there are not actually members of a federally recognized California tribe or an unfederally recognized California tribes.
That's right. I mean, we couldn't. The whole notion was, it's the University of California on California Indian land, and I would love to help everybody, but we're hoping that this becomes a model, so that other. And there's only so much resources, and everybody says, what about me? This tribe only has so many resources. I mean, working together with other tribes, we can create other models. But the hope is that this will be a model that other states will emulate, will take. A couple other states, I believe, are doing it, but I don't know that they're working with a tribe that's financing it. But this is a model where you have a tribe that is, you know, financing the opportunity, or partially financing it, certainly helping so that it can happen. And this is on California Indian land, and so it's directed towards California Indians. We realize, of course, that both Los Angeles and Oakland have large urban Indian populations, many of whom are not California natives. But we cannot, you know, we don't have the this tribe doesn't have the resources to open the doors for all of those. And the priority needs to be here for California Indians at this point. They want to do something else, that's something else. But, you know, and their states and their tribes should also, and the federal government certainly should step up to provide opportunities for all Indian people. I can't control what all the state does, and I certainly can't control what the federal government does. But my tribe has the opportunity to at least to create a model starting for California Indian people. We are California Indian people, and we start here, we start home.
That's very good. I really do hope that this becomes an inspiration on all federal lands. A basic thought is education should be free, and this is opening a door.
It's creating a model, Joseph, and that's what we're hoping. I mean, obviously, I don't have the money to. California is a huge state, and there's more Indian people in California than there is anywhere else in this country. Hopefully, and a lot of Indian children who should go to have the opportunities for higher education. I should say, too, that a lot of California Indians, you know, the overwhelming majority of us, 60% of us, 70% of us also live in urban areas. I have a lot of relatives, for instance, who live in Los Angeles, and were originally here from Sonoma County, southern Sonoma County and Marin counties. But, you know, our people are scattered historically. We've moved around. So we start there and we create a model, and hopefully that model can be built upon. That's one of the things that my tribe, we've been very progressive. We've also given money, almost $6 million, to the NMAI at the Smithsonian, the National Museum of the American Indian there, to create education templates, to create a blueprint, to provide education movies, programs, templates for 4th, 8th, and senior years in high school for all that can be emulated and used for all Indian people, regardless of tribe, throughout the United States, Hawaii, and so forth. So the tribe is also working on that and providing money for that, for the Smithsonian. So on that front, where we have some control and power and influence, we are also doing something that will become a model that all public schools and libraries can use, working with for and teaching Indian history and culture throughout this country. So the tribe has been really progressive in, you know, advancing the causes of education. We've also endowed, we provided $15 million to the UCLA Law School to pay for three Indian students each year studying Indian law, young lawyers studying Indian law in perpetuity. So there will always be money for three people and creating a cohort of young Indian lawyers from all tribes in this country. It doesn't, just not California, obviously, but everywhere. And also we gave an additional $4 million to endow a couple teaching opportunities that will always ensure that there will be Indian law taught at UCLA. So that's a total of $19 million just to that university, so that they will have the professors always teaching Indian law and at least three new students totally financed studying Indian law. Again, and that's intertribal anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, one of our former chairpersons went there and got a law degree.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's... It works.
And it works.
Yes, I'm hoping that we could find a way to get tuition for California tribal members who want to attend universities out of California.
Well, that again, that would have to be the tribes would have to do that, or the states would have to do that. So, for example, the model that I just described to you at UCLA, anybody who is from any tribe in the United States of America can certainly go there and get their tuition paid for it. There are instances where that's possible. Obviously, all of us would like more, but it's got to start somewhere, and I'm proud to say that my tribe is starting so many things and opportunities, models that other tribes, other states, the federal government can emulate, for that matter.
Well, absolutely, and I congratulate you on all the efforts your tribe has done. You're a model, and you're creating more models, and it just got to keep rolling. I think it's going to catch on.
I hope so. And we'll do what we can in the meantime. We'll keep pushing ahead, and if we have blessings, we have to pass them on. And again, Joseph, so much of this we understand is in the spirit of our ancestors. Our ancestors had an ethic of taking care of the land, which we're also very much involved with, and also taking care of our people. And in a modern world, we have to find ways to use those ethics of our ancestors, those ways of our ancestors, to do just that, which they did for time immemorial, which is take care of one another and take care of the land. Unfortunately, what has happened to us and often has us pitted against one another and so forth. But, you know, if we could take care of one another, we wouldn't have to have all this fighting over territory and all this stuff about casinos and greed and all this stuff that is just just puts us in a way of which we're fighting with one another. There's enough resources now where California Indians, and I'm just speaking now here of California, we can work together to take care of one another. And again, another model of what my tribe does is those tribes in our county, in Sonoma County, who are not gaming or who have reservations in areas where they don't have the opportunity to game or it wouldn't be as lucrative as it is for us, we provide them $3 million a year.
Right.
So there's two non-federally recognized tribes, each of which, you know, we give this money to every year for their tribes just to take care of them. We also give an additional $3 million in addition to our IHS money to our Sonoma County Health Indian Health Clinic. So if you have these resources, you need to share. You need to take care of one another. We either share and create a model of taking care of one another, or we all go down together along with the larger world. So you have to not get caught in the new way of thinking with money and opportunity, but let the influence and wisdom of your ancestors influence your decisions and how you work today with your own people, with your Indian people, and with your Indian neighbors. Those who aren't as well off or don't have opportunities, we must take care of one another. I'm old enough to remember that, you know, in our homes when we were kids and didn't have anything, there might be 10 beans in the pot, but if there were 11 people at the table, we would find a way to split up the beans so that everybody got something. We have to keep that thinking that way instead of greed and I, me, my, because then we're not Indians. We're too much like white people.
Yep, the old American model.
Yep.
Well, gee, this is really inspiring. I thank you very much for taking the time. And before I let you go, you are also an author of several books. And I'm wondering, is there a book that you normally or you usually give as a gift or recommend to others that inspired you?
Well, I have a brand new book that talks a lot about the things we're talking about and my own story. And as a leader, as you may or may not know, I'm serving my 15th consecutive term as chairman of this tribe. It's 30 years. I have a new book out from Heyday Press that people are really enjoying, particularly Indian people, called Becoming Story. Becoming Story by Greg Saris. And you can order it online anywhere, get it in a bookstore, order it. And it comes from Heyday Press. Heyday Press in Berkeley publishes the book. And again, it's Becoming Story. And folks, Joseph, are really enjoying it. Just came out 3 weeks ago. So it's out, and I've done a lot of press and stuff, and I'm happy to say people are enjoying it. And it's a series of essays, and memoir-type essays about my experiences here and thoughts about the landscape and our history and how we thought about the land and how I am now thinking about the land and our people and the trees and the animals and all the things that we've just talked about a little bit in this interview.
Well, that's inspiring. I actually recommended your book to one of my nieces who has given me books from time to time. And I said, well, hey, check this one out.
Yeah.
So she picked that one up.
Becoming Story, and it's easy to read. It's short, some wonderful essays. Some of them are a lot of fun. One of them is, you know, they're all kind of personal. I cover the seasons and, you know, different stories and how to think about the redwoods and stuff. And, you know, I wrote an essay a while back that's included in there that with the sudden oak death, and, you know, the oak tree took care of us. And the title of the story in there is If Oprah Were an Oak Tree. And I kept thinking how we would be loving and taking care of the oaks if we could, you know, adore them and worship them the way people worship Oprah. So things like, which we should do. The oak tree, we need to take care of our land and turn away from a lot of the idolizing the stars in the media. Remember what the old people always used to tell us, Joseph, that if you forget the land and the trees and the animals, they will forget you. And we can't let that happen.
No, we can't. No, we can't. And you're an inspiration. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Joseph. Any other questions, just let me know. You know how to get a hold of me.
Okay. Very good. I probably will do that.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next, we hear a recording supplied to us by Robin Collier, the son of Mary Collier. In this recording, we hear Gene Campbell, former Federated Indians of Granton Rancheria chairperson, speaking at a memorial service for the late Mary Collier. Mary Collier was an ally in the struggle to regain federal recognition status for the Granton Rancheria. She was also a founding member of MAPOM. From the MAPOM website, it explains, the Miwok Agricultural Preserve of Marin, MAPOM, was formed in 1970 as a result of community involvement in the excavation of a Coast Miwok village site. Through a diverse range of programs and cooperative efforts with groups such as the Federated Indians of Granton Rancheria, Coast Miwoks, and Point Reyes National Seashore, MAPOM seeks to promote accurate knowledge of the Coast Miwok Indians, the first people of Marin and southern Sonoma counties.
Opomikantowish, Opomikantowish, a greeting in the Coast Miwok language. I'm Joanne Campbell. I'm from the Federated Indians of Granton Rancheria, which their offices are now located in Rona Park. So I'm representing the tribe and coming here to pay tribute to Mary. Three of our current members were on one of those early MAPOM boards with her, and they're unable to be here. One was Young Smith, who's now 88, and served with her and remembers her very well. Another was Jean Bouvelot, who's still on the MAPOM board, and who was then and still is the treasurer of our tribe. Another was Tim Campbell, who worked on the early tribal archives and getting us restored, and he currently is our grant services director for the tribe. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Jean and Tim are on their way to New Orleans as I speak for a very important financial conference, but they send their respect and their tributes too. So I'm part of the tribal council, and I'm also the liaison associated most with bringing back our cultural revitalization of language and basketry. And one of the most important things that helped us out in getting our restoration in 2000, one important section of what we had to gather to prove to the government that we were still here in this beautiful land that we also loved, was to prove ethnographic and genealogical and language and cultural activities. And that we relied on what we called the Kelly Book by Sylvia Thoman and Mary Collier. This, I don't know if any of you see it, but it's a wonderful book. And we always refer to it as the Kelly Book, but I think from here on, I'm going to refer to it as the Thoman-Collier book, because you cannot separate those two women from this book. Unfortunately, I did not know Mary early in her life. I only knew her later in life from associating with the park and Maypalm. But I really felt very close to her and really admired her and liked her a great deal. I think one big bond was our stature. So she and Sylvia Thoman, as Bev alluded to or spoke about, were just so admirable to have done the work that they did. Isabel Kelly thought she was speaking to the last two Coast Miwok people on Earth. She wasn't, but she didn't know that. In our tribe now, there are 1,300 people and several more that are not in our tribe, but we're all descendants of people of this area. And according to about an 1852 Indian census, there were only 14 survivors of our people left in this area. So I get very emotional about that, because now all 13 of us can prove our lineage back to one of those 14 people, and that's quite remarkable. When Bev talked about the volume of work they did, I'm not sure how those two people did it, except continuously working on these notes. I don't know how many years it took them. I knew at one time, but there were 6,000 card fiches, 3x5 cards with the data she collected, and they sorted, indexed, printed, all of that. Not once, but they revised the printing. I think it's now in its second edition.
Third edition.
Third edition, okay. I think we keep correcting parts of it as our history grows and our knowledge. But she was a tremendous influence, and Maypalm, of course, has been such one of our stalwart supporters through all these years. I guess Bev gave the early history of when they started, but actually our tribe was not restored until the year 2000. So we've been collecting and building our tribal government, revitalizing our culture, going on to economic planning, organic gardens, land restoration, where we now have a reservation in trust up in Roanoke Park. So it's all really attributed a lot to Mary and Sylvia. So I wanted to come and express our tribe's appreciation of her life and contributions, and I'm just real happy to be here. Now, in our Coast Miwok language, there are no words for hello or goodbye. The greeting I gave you was a Coast Miwok phrase that just means, how is everything going today? And there's no word for goodbye, but there's a phrase I like very well, and I think it applies to Sylvia, to Mary, and to Maypalm, and it's do not forget me, or ayan manikani. Come on, Lish.
The Friday edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. The host, producer, and engineer has been Joseph Orozco, lead producer. We thank Robin Collier, Cultural Energy, Taos, New Mexico, for sharing the audio of the memorial service held in honor of his mother, spoken by Joan Campbell, Miwok elder. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.